Welcome to this edition of Inside the Brand After Dark. This is your host, Dennis Trianos. Inside the Brand After Dark is sponsored by the Trianos Group, innovation and retained executive search and consulting in the marketing arena. On Inside the Brand After Dark, we have the unique opportunity to spend additional time with the guests that appear on our weekly syndicated radio program. Given the 30-minute format, we can really dig in and go quite a bit deeper with our guests on important marketing and leadership questions. Now, let's join the discussion with today's very special guest. On today's show, my co-host Joyce Faulkner of Euro RSCG and I will be talking to Russell Wallach, president of Live Nation Networks. Live Nation Networks is the sponsorship management company that sits inside of Live Nation Entertainment, which of course is the world's leading live entertainment and e-commerce company, comprised of four market leaders: Ticketmaster.com, Live Nation Concerts, Frontline Management Group, and Live Nation Network. Russell, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Russell, you're the president of Live Nation Network. Live Nation Network is a key component of Live Nation Entertainment, as I understand. Give us a high-level view of Live Nation Entertainment and then tell us the role that Live Nation Network plays within that ecosystem.
Well, Live Nation Entertainment is really comprised of a couple different areas. On the music side, and we're the largest promoter in the world. We do about 20,000 shows globally. We own Ticketmaster, and we also own Frontline Management. So those are kind of the key pieces to our business. Live Nation Network is, think of it as the in-house agency that represents all of those incredible assets from online to at the show, social media and mobile, that we then work with major brands globally to figure out how it could make sense to partner with them across all the Live Nation Entertainment assets.
You know, when I think about music, music is almost a visceral experience, right? And when we remember the great things in life, we remember music. It's associated with it. How do you associate or encourage a brand to sort of lock into that human emotion of music and have that music associated with that brand?
Part of the way we do it is what you just said. There are a few experiences in life that we remember the first time. And I've asked this question thousands of times, and it's rare that somebody does not remember their first concert. You know, they may remember their first sporting event. They're probably not remembering their first movie, et cetera. So the idea that it is that major an event in their life, and not only that, they remember where they were. They remember who they went with. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they may remember what they were wearing, as embarrassing as that may be. And so that experience, brands understand that immediately when you talk about it. And then you fast forward, you know, 25 years since probably my first concert. And now, because of social media, everyone out on the web and all of your friends out there also know that you were attending that live experience, and you can now share it with them. Brands want to be a part of that.
You use the word experience, and I know that Live Nation owns the fan experience, from, as you say, ticket purchase to affinity with the artist to ultimately the relationship between fans and sponsors. How do you keep all these moving parts effectively working together?
Well, look, I think the experience really starts first and foremost with the artist. We're there to enhance it, but the ultimate experience is between that artist and that fan, and there's that special bond there when there's 20,000 people all singing the words at the same time. We're there to enhance the experience. If we can provide innovative things on site, if we can provide cool ways to get your concessions, if we can make sure that, you know, the lines to the bathroom move quickly, if we can make sure that it's an incredible production, all of those things hopefully enhance the experience. In addition to that, we want to bring brands in to do cool things, whether it's being able to get you behind the scenes, get you into a VIP club, maybe even get you to meet the band, That's where we bring the brands in to participate and play together with us and the artist.
So as a follow-up to that, you know, one of the aspects, key aspects of your platform is the ability for collaboration. So collaboration between the fan, the performers, and also the sponsors. So talk a little bit about how does collaboration take place and why would a fan want to engage with a sponsor in the first place?
Well, I think it starts with how do we connect the band and the brand? And so there's a lot of learning that goes on there, educating the brands that actually bands are brands as well. Mm-hmm. And so when it makes sense, and we've done things like with Jared Leto, who's with 30 Seconds to Mars and HP, where there was just a program that made so much sense for them. The band understood it. There was an enhancement to the fans because the fans were able to send photos. We were trying to find the best or the biggest 30 Seconds to Mars fan. So bands were able to send their photos to the band using HP technology. Well, all of a sudden, the band was able to say, hey, that's cool. We like that. It's organic. It was a benefit to the fan because fans actually got to go meet the band. We flew them to a show. And so, and obviously HP loved it because they were really interacting with both fans and the band. So to me, that's where the magic happens, where everybody understands what's important and everybody's able to collaborate and work together.
You know, I was reading an article where you were interviewed not too long ago, and you had a phrase of making the brand the hero for all the things that are happening at the show. Give us an expression, an example of making the brand the hero in the event.
Well, I think the brand can be the hero in a lot of ways. Now that we know so much about the fans, and you know, if you think about somebody's Facebook page, well, we know, right, because it's public, all of the bands that they like, because they've liked them on their Facebook page. Well, all of a sudden, a brand has the opportunity to send a message to that fan to say, hey, I understand that you like such and such band. You like the Black Keys. Guess what? The Black Keys are on tour. Here's two tickets, compliments of us. So the ability to be a hero can be very subtle. It could be giving a fan tickets to the show, or it could be as simple as a couple fans are sitting in the lawn and all of a sudden that brand has two front row tickets. And guess what though? To be able to get those front row tickets, you have to interact with the brand in some way. Maybe you have to like their Facebook page. Maybe you have to send a text message as part of a trivia contest, whatever it may be. But to, you know, it's not that tough now to be able to interact with a brand on site at a show and for that brand to do something really special for you.
The relationship between technology and what's happening in a live event is a very interesting dynamic. And what we've noticed is that Live Nation does social media perhaps better than most organizations. You've taken it to a new level. Our constituency are marketers. If I was a young marketer out there trying to kind of crack the code on social media, what advice would I hear from you?
Well, thank you for saying that. Look, we have some advantage over a lot of brands because what we're selling is very exciting and sexy, and probably the thing that whether you're 18 or 80, you're most passionate about, which is music. So it starts there. But I think where brands miss the opportunity is that they're focused in some cases on scale in terms of getting as many Facebook friends as possible as a badge of honor. We look at it from an engagement standpoint. How often are you engaging with those Facebook friends? Or is it really just a passive relationship? Are you providing them content? Are you providing them experiences? Are you providing them with information and insights that are helpful to them? Or are you just sitting there being able to go tell your boss that you have 3 million friends on Facebook?
So, one of the things I know that's really important is user-generated content. So there's a ton of it out there. You're fortunate that you probably have access to a lot of it. How are you maximizing some of that user-generated content to promote the shows, promote the artists, promote the sponsorships?
to your point, there's so much user-generated content out there. We're really focused on exclusive content. Okay. We believe that that really is the advantage for brands. A good example, one of our partners, Citi, was looking to do some interesting things on their Facebook page. They were partnering with us on some shows here in New York City with Beyonce. We got exclusive footage from Beyonce behind the scenes leading up to those shows that the only way you could see that content was on the Citi Facebook page. We think that becomes much more powerful than kind of traditional UGC content that you might be able to catch anywhere on the web.
So from a consumer engagement standpoint, it's from what I'm hearing from you, it's quality versus quantity. So what are some ways that you're measuring that or putting an ROI on that?
Well, first of all, I totally agree. It's definitely about quality. Mm-hmm. We're all too busy. We don't want our inboxes. We don't want our Facebook pages to be inundated with stuff that's not relevant to us. So one, it needs to be targeted. And two, it needs to be relevant and we believe exclusive. Mm-hmm. We leave a lot of the ROI to the brands and agencies because everyone is looking for something different and everyone has different engagement metrics. What we try to do, though, from a marketing standpoint, is just understand those metrics going in. Is it a pure play? We just want to get as many fans right now to Facebook as possible. We can look at that metric. Is it an engagement? How many times are they going to share that exclusive content with their friends? So again, that would depend as well, right? We can do a simple promotion to get a lot of people to sign up or to friend you on Facebook. A lot tougher to engage you with content that you want to share with your friends.
This is Dennis Troianos for Inside the Brand After Dark, and I'm here with Joyce Faulkner of Euro RSCG, and of course our very special guest, Russell Wallach, the president of Live Nation Network. You use the word relevance. The relationship between an artist and their fans is already an intimate relationship. How does Live Nation avoid the trap of being intrusive in a relationship versus adding value and relevance to that relationship?
We don't get in the middle of that relationship, as you said. It's intimate, it's special, and that is truly the relationship between the artist and the fan. We're there, in many cases, behind the scenes to make sure that the show is fantastic, the artist has everything that they need so that they can get on stage and give the best possible performance. As it relates to the fan, we just want to make sure that all the key things from getting to the show, buying the ticket while you're at the show, and what happens after that show is as positive as possible.
So you're a master in bringing brands together with bands, right? And from what you told me before the show, you're a kid that grew up in Queens. And give us a little sense of what you learned growing up that now, as you look back at your career, was useful in helping you be successful now.
Well, I've always loved sports and entertainment. So growing up as a kid, that was my passion, was sports entertainment. Went to concerts at an early age, went to ball games at an early age. And so for me, it was a passion that fortunately I've been able to spend my entire career working in what I love to do.
So give us a little insight. If we were going to start a company tomorrow morning and we needed a sponsor, do we approach the sponsor first or do we approach the artist first?
It's a tough question. you're probably starting with the sponsor. And you're talking to the sponsor about what their needs and objectives are. Whenever we talk to a brand, we're trying to be a consultant. We're experts in the music space. We're experts in the live entertainment space. We're experts in the social media and mobile from the perspective of how to interact with fans. So once we understand the brand's business, there are thousands and thousands of artists out there, big and small. We can then go and find the right artist that meets the needs of the brand.
I'm going to push you just a little deeper on this one, okay? There are a lot of smart people who can figure out what the Starbucks brand stands for. The hard part, I think, is trying to find music that gives voice to that brand. How do you match the right artist with the right brand?
So we spend a lot of time with research in terms of not only radio plays, not only CD sales. We recently acquired a company called Big Champagne that has 10,000 plus data points to be able to look at what's going on with bands in the P2P space, iTunes downloads, YouTube. So we're able to really understand the velocity of artists. Okay. And then we have all types of third-party research that we kind of look at tied into that to be able to say, okay, this is who the audience is. And we can not only look at it and say, oh, the audience is different in New York versus Atlanta. We can segment it to the point of we know that the audience for this particular artist is, you know, 18 to 24 or 35 to 54. So we're doing all of that analysis so that when we come to the brand, we've got very, very detailed background and data to be able to really determine what the right artist is. Mm-hmm. I would say that no different than in sports, sometimes things are done on the brand side, maybe with a little bit of a gut, you know, mm-hmm. I'm the brand manager, I like this band, therefore that's who I'd like to work with. We try to take the personal preference stuff out of it and just look at it purely as a data, from a data perspective, like they would make any other business nice. Decision.
Nice. Why don't you, so I know you guys are really into kind of forefront on the social media and really have a pulse on it. In your opinion, how has the explosion of social media changed and impacted the music business?
It's made our business so much more exciting. It's given us so many different ways to talk to brands. For the main reason that if you look at many of the social media platforms, artists and bands are the biggest players, if you will. They've got the most likes, they've got the most followers. So therefore, they're engaging with more people probably than anybody in the world. We're there to be a part of that. And so what it gives us is, one, the ability to talk to fans in a way that we've never been able to talk to them before. You know, 10 years ago, you were promoting a show in New York and you had to run a full page ad in the New York Times. And that's how you got the word out. Mm-hmm. Well, now we can get the word out because the band has, you know, 2 million followers in New York alone. The artist can send out a tweet that the tickets are going on sale. They can set something up on Facebook. We've got millions of followers in our social media world. We can put content out on the web that people are going to see. So there's lots of different ways now to be able to market a show and to be able to interact with fans.
So tell us, I know you launched an iPhone app. I don't know how recent it was, but tell us about that and how you're using that to get the word out.
So we launched our iPhone app last year. Okay. We've already sold millions and millions of dollars in tickets from the phone. So if anyone is questioning whether mobile commerce is is here, it is here, and we're seeing it for pretty sizable purchases on our iPhone app. And the way it works simply is it is looking at your library that you have on your iPhone. And any artist that is coming to New York, we're here in New York City, any artist that you have in your iTunes library that's coming to New York, you're going to get a message and you're going to get a one-click link to be able to go buy tickets to that show. So if that's not an easy way to purchase tickets, as well as to inform you about the bands that you're interested or the artists you're interested, then I don't know what would be.
Russell, as you know, our firm is in the talent business and we're always looking for that one insight into what makes a company like yours successful. What do you look for in the talent that you hire to make these productions successful?
To me, and what I've seen through my entire career, it's about collaboration. And we work across all of the different business units. You have to work as well internally as you do externally. you've got to treat your internal clients as well as you would treat your external clients. And at Live Nation, it's great because it's a great group of people. We love what we do, a lot of creativity, and everyone is focused ultimately on that same goal of making it the best possible experience for the fan and the artist on stage.
So it's a high wire act every night in a way, isn't it?
Well, look, it's stressful every single night. You know, you've got 20,000 people coming to a venue. You've got to get them in. You've got to get them out. The artist up on stage. So, you know, I'm not in that part of the business. I think that's way more stressful than what I have to do. I get to sit in boardrooms and talk to brands. I don't have to be out there making sure that everything is working for the show that night.
Talking about the artist, is there any fundamental difference from a marketing point of view between marketing an artist and marketing soup?
Well, look, artists, first and foremost, they are artists. And so they're creative. They've got incredible ideas in terms of their brand. But yes, I think they are looking at it as you might take any other high-profile brand out in the marketplace, and that's how they're positioning themselves, that's how they're marketing themselves. They look at everything. They look at the brands they associate, the venues they play, how they communicate with their fans and social media. So yeah, the same way we know that, you know, brands like Coke and IBM and the greatest brands in the world are interacting with their customers, you should think of it as bands are doing it the same way.
How important is it from your point of view to connect a brand with an artist early in the artist's career?
If you can find that magic and that brand can be with that artist for a long time, I think that there's incredible magic. Converse is doing a good job with that. They're working with a lot of bands that are unsigned and trying to get in early. We're spending a lot of time right now with some of our brand partners to help them kind of find those up and coming. We launched a program called Ones to Watch, where we're really trying to zero in on those bands that are now playing in clubs and get those brands in early with those bands. So I think it's an exciting opportunity. Music has never been more exciting, and you know, it's kind of the long tail. There's a lot of bands out there with a lot of fans, and if we can link those bands up early with the right brand, I think it can really help those artists and bands grow their career quicker.
We have about a minute left, and I was asked just before the show by my business partner's son, Michael, who's just starting his career in the live music management business, to ask you this question. So here it is. As the music business has shifted from an in-store physical purchase experience to a socialized digital stream purchase flow that one shares with their friends, and he talked about Spotify.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see any themes or trends in the live touring business that parallel what's happening in the music traditional model?
Well, I think everything that's happening in the music, you know, the Spotify's and all that, is just great for our live business. The more ways that fans can find out about bands, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, or any other way, is great for our business. The model really has changed. The bands are now making their money on the road touring. We put, you know, thousands of bands on the road every year, and that's how they're connecting with their fans. That's how they're making money today, and we don't see that changing, and that's why we see such an exciting time ahead for our business.
This is Dennis Troianos for Inside the Brand After Dark. Today I was joined by Joyce Faulkner of Euro RSCG, and of course our very special guest, Russell Wallach, the president of Live Nation Networks. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we hope to see you next time.
Thank you as well.